Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Steve Rivera. Welcome to Eye on the Ball here on KVOI 1030. Call if you'd like, 790-2040. Another busy day here at the office. We're going to talk a little about football, UA football, as they gear up to play Washington State this weekend. We'll probably have a little of the tape or the press conference from yesterday involving Kevin Sumlin. And then at the 1:30 mark, we're going to have a good friend of mine and a good friend of mine who I enjoyed traveling with the UA football team. Not football team, I'm sorry, basketball team. I'm already getting confused here. And I've just lost his name. This is how crazy it's been as I sit down in this thing. But for a half hour, he's going to be with. We're going to talk about UA sports and basketball.
Awesome.
And in the second hour, I'm going to have Mr. Skurin in, Jeff Skurin in from the high school ranks of the football programs. He retired over the last month, maybe 3 weeks ago, and he retired for about 2 weeks. Wouldn't you like that? And then he's coming back to coach in Europe.
What a retirement, eh?
Yes, it's real quick.
Got a quick game of golf in, I guess, huh?
Right, and you know, you probably got tired of it real quick, you know. You get retired, then what are you gonna do the rest of your life?
That's what my dad says, and he's 91, he retired 30 years ago.
30 years ago?
Yeah.
But you know what? I don't want to get morbid, but after you retired at a fairly young age, 60, 65 or whatever, you have to find stuff to do.
Yes.
Or you're going to start to kind of wail away.
Got a big old shed, lots of tools, and does more than I wish he would.
Yeah. And now the name comes to me is Brett Hansen, a good friend of mine. I'm looking at Bob, and I'm thinking, it's Brett. I know it's Brett. So a lot of fun. Hey, what I wanted to do today early is maybe get to some press conference of Sumlin. It was interesting. It was only 15 minutes, but he's been in town for almost maybe 11 months now.
Mm-hmm.
You'll listen to him, and you kind of explain things after it's done. But we'll have to cut it in two. So go ahead.
Bob. You got it.
Yes. Well, we'll see how it benefits us. You know, there's at different times of year. I know we're one of the few teams in the country to play 10 straight weeks in a row. So from that standpoint, just from physical and mental health, you know, with the combination of travel and late games, 10 weeks in a row, you know, we needed a week. And like I said, I gave the schedule for last week. We also utilized it in recruiting for a chance for us to get out as coaches and also give our guys a chance for a break, because a lot of these guys in high school haven't been home since, you know, they came here in June. So, you know, we're back at it. And I think, you know, like you said, you know, everything pays off on results. We'll see where we are this week.
Do you think there are like a specific player or player group that you think benefited from the bye week?
No, I think it's everybody. I think it's the way the schedule has set up this year. Like I said, I don't know that there's been a time in my coaching career in 30 years, you know, since we've gone to the schedule, the 12-game schedule, that we've played 10 straight weeks in a row.
What's your biggest worry when guys go home?
What do you mean?
As a guy that coaches young men, what do you worry about most when
they leave this environment? Well, I've been involved in some horrific and some tragic accidents with teams. And, you know, that's one of the reasons why we kind of set the schedule up the way it is, to give guys plenty of time. You know, guys that are within, you know 5 hours, at 5-6 hours, they're not having to leave at midnight to get back here at 6 o'clock in the morning. So, you know, there's just a lot of different things. It's like anything else, like your family, like, you know, children. When they're not around you, you know, you always worry about travel. You worry about choices. And that's just the nature of the business.
Do you think there's any lasting benefit to having coached against Leach in his system way back when you were at Houston?
I don't know. I mean, Mike and I have known each other a long time, and you know, we've shared ideas, we've visited with each other, we've known each other a long time. So, is there a familiarity? Yes, I would, you know, you'd know that, but You know, it's I don't know that there's any more benefit, as we said before earlier this year, just like UCLA, you know, just because you know that there's familiarity the other way too, right? So that's just part of it.
Basically still the same system?
With Mike? There's some wrinkles now, you know. I think the first thing they'll jump out at is that, you know, they lead the league in time of possession, right? So I don't think a lot of people have looked at him offensively or looked at them offensively in that manner. They still lead the league in passing. They still lead the league in points, but they're leading the league in time of possession, which is a little bit different than maybe it has been for him, you know, 5, 6, 7 years ago.
Do you have a good Mike Leach story you can share?
Not one I can share. I got plenty of good ones, though.
Gardner Minshew's fourth quarter numbers, I think it's something like 12 touchdowns to 0 interceptions. What does that tell you about his ability to function in the game?
But he's, you know, you see his maturity, you know, and his experience. I think he has gotten more and more confident throughout the year as he's played. I think, you know, that just comes with experience and playing with playing together with people. And so, you know, he's a leader. And he's a competitor. You see that in games. But like I said, they've done a nice job with the mixture of playing the way they've played, being able to throw it the way they've thrown it, which means he's been accurate to keep to stay on the field and lead the league in time of possession. You just don't, you know, that's, you're doing a lot of different things right at that point with the football. And that means you're being accurate, but you're also having guys make plays for you. And, you know, that's where they've been. They, you know, that's why their record is what it is. You know, they've been extremely effective. They've been extremely effective defensively with negative yardage plays. You know, getting people behind the chains. They're leading the league in sacks now. So that's how you're the number one scoring team in the league, and you're getting people behind the chains on defense. That's why you're 9-1 right now.
Would you say it's been unfair for you guys that you've had a lot of late kickoff times?
I don't control that.
I mean, but what have you taken away from?
It's my first year in the league. I just told you, so it's been, you know, I'll assess all that at the end. But you know, we're not the only ones doing that.
How do you keep your team occupied during the day when you have a late game?
You know, we've got a schedule that that benefits them. I think, you know, we have more meeting time on Saturday than we do on Friday, for instance. You don't have to be as rushed like Friday afternoon or Friday night with meetings because you're getting up in the morning and, you know, trying to eat pregame meal at, you know, 3.5 hours or 4 hours before the game. So, you know, we've got different things that go on during the day, Saturday.
How close are you paying attention to the Pac-12 South, right? So I know you always say you're focusing on you guys, but now that you're towards the end of the season, how much are you focusing on?
I think our team has, since we've been talking about it in here, I think the focus has been the game this week. Last week it was the bye week. These guys seem to... really, I think we're a better team when we're focused on one thing at a time. I think the last couple, 3 weeks, we've done a pretty good job of that. And, you know, just 6 weeks ago, nobody was talking about that. And that was our message last week. You know, you're going to go home, you're going to go some places. And, you know, just remember 7 weeks ago when people didn't give you a chance. So, you know, don't let people talk you into anything that just happened over the last 3 weeks. Let's get back and focus on who we are and not focus on these two games. Let's focus on this game because we're playing a heck of a football team this weekend.
How did you feel about the reception that you and your staff felt when you guys went out on the road this past week?
It was good. It was good. You know, you know, I think there's been – it's also helped to answer your question, too. You know, there's pluses and minuses to that, you know.
Welcome back, everybody. We're going to cut this about halfway through, go to break, and then return to the press conference, and then we'll kind of discuss what he talked about after the break. Thanks a bunch.
Days, most families are concerned with having the right insurance coverage. Protecting your family, home, auto, and other valuable possessions can be challenging and sometimes expensive. Crest Insurance gives you flexible options and solutions while saving you money. Insurance is not one size fits all, and at Crest, we find the coverage that's best for you and your family. Visit us online at www.crestins.com or call us toll free at 888-881-5765.
Wendy and Sandy, who should be talking to you guys right now? Who should be picking up the phone and call 547-7000 or Sereo.com?
If you have someone who's being told there's not a lot more we can do, you find a lot of repeat visits to the hospital, pain and the suffering hasn't decreased, then they need to be calling us.
When a family only seeks help in the last 2 weeks because it doesn't give them enough time to prepare. Sereo Hospice and Palliative Care is a total wrap service. It wraps around the patient and the family, providing the emotional support, the medical support, and the spiritual support that not only the person who is passing needs, but their loved ones also needs. And 2 weeks is a very brief time to prepare the family for what they're going to be going through when they lose that loved one.
So 547-7000. Sereo, I'll spell it out for you, Sereo.com.
This is Chef Michael Elefante, and I have an idea for your business. Take your client to lunch, at Mama Luisa's, of course. They'll be impressed by our pasta bar, cooked to their preference, right in front of them. Or try our famous Joe special, with hot pepper seeds, garlic and oil, and topped with cheese and baked to perfection. You'll get their business and some great food. Mama Luisa's.
Since 1956, Mama Luisa's has thrilled your palate with great Italian food. And we cater. 2041 South Craycroft, 790-4702.
Hey, this is Ken Flower of Arizona Party Rental. It's that time. U of A tailgating. I gotta have one of those burgers and one of those dogs, and who's under this Arizona Party Rental tent? You look familiar.
That's right, I'm Sheriff Napier.
Gosh, it's great to see you.
Hey, you're Ken Flower. Aren't you wanted?
I'm speechless.
That's right, everybody wants Arizona Party Rental.
Hey, you can join the party too. Arizona Party Rental just west of Alvernon on Speedway or online at arizonapartyrental.net.
No more knowledgeable woman than Dawn English and her irresistible Tucson, food and culture in the Old Pueblo. From 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. on KVOI AM 1030, trusted local news and talk. Reliable and timely financial information from Bloomberg Radio Network. 7 p.m. to 6 a.m. on KVOI AM 1030, trusted local news and talk.
Trusted local news and talk, AM 1030 KVOI. We have our eye on news.
Welcome back, everybody, to Eye on the Ball here on KVOI 1030. You can call in at 790-2043. We're going to kind of resume with Sumlin's press conference, maybe skipping a little ahead. We have about five more minutes, and then we want to talk about it real quick of what he said yesterday.
You know, we're, like I said, you got, you got guys that have been in here since, you know, the whole, since June, right, for school and things like that, lengthening the season without playing. You know, that is, I think, the point that people, that you're getting at is, hey, well, we'll get another bye week, get them some rest, but we're still practicing, right? They're still going to school. There's still that pressure of the season going along. So I don't really see any benefit to that.
How much better do you feel about your team going into this road game as opposed to the last one against UCLA?
I don't know. I mean, we got, like I said, I don't know more today. You know, obviously we didn't have our starting quarterback at UCLA. And, you know, we didn't have a couple different people at UCLA. So, physically. We're in, which is amazing, at week 11 or 12, that physically and really personnel-wise, we're better off than we were at that point in the season.
This might be a weird question, Coach, but is there any intel that you guys have at all on if you have to play a game during the day, what the ideal temperature to play in is?
No. No. I don't have any on that.
Do you remember the coldest game you've ever coached in?
Well, let me put it this way. No, I don't, but when I started my career, I was a graduate assistant in Pullman, right? Then I left and went to Laramie, Wyoming with Joe Tiller. And then I spent 5 years in Minnesota. So you can pick one of the places. I'm sure that it was pretty cold at some point.
What was it like selling insurance?
I didn't sell insurance. I was a group insurance underwriter. There's a big difference. What's the difference? You set rates and for people to sell insurance. So you've got an actuarial staff that comes up with, I can't believe I'm talking about this right now. We're getting ready to play a 9-1 team, top 20 team. So the actuarial group sets the rates, and then you have the salespeople out there and you have your customers. And so what you have to do is find the middle ground in between what can make the company profit and what the consumer can bear. And then you come up with those rates and you give those to the salesman and they close the deal.
How long did you do that before you realized that coaching was really?
Not very long.
Thoughts on the afternoon kickoff time against ASU?
What's that?
Thoughts on the afternoon kickoff time against ASU?
I'm worried about this week.
The situation with Bam, David, and Jamari, how was that handled?
We were notified almost immediately, even by one of the players. And so, we addressed that with them, addressed it with their families, and we've disciplined them internally.
And what were those disciplines?
We disciplined them internally.
Time for one more question or two? Is there a thought process that, hey, this is our stadium, we can be here? I mean, I would think that maybe they play there, that they would not. It seems like there was a thought process that they could be in the stadium at that time.
Like I said, we made a statement, and I'm not going to comment on that anymore.
Were you recruiting in Southern California?
No. We've had coaches all over the place, so. Yes. I did get a call from one of our coaches who was up in the up in Northern California that was concerned, because we met Sunday as a staff to go back over recruiting, get set for this week, and we had I had one coach who did call that was concerned about not getting back on time or trying to get here, but they made it back safe. John Rushing.
Thank you, Coach.
All right, thank you. We had an eclectic group of questions today. Since it's a bye week, is this what happens?
How you going, Bob? How'd you like that? In terms of different, have you seen any more different than in a press conference?
Well, you see so many, you hear so many coaches just saying, what a dumb question. Why don't we talk about this or that? And he's so gracious and so kind. He's like, I can't believe we're talking about this.
Well, let me tell you, the reason I had them, you play it to the end was he's very close to the vest. Very close to the vest, mm-hmm. Doesn't say a whole lot. In that 15 minutes, he didn't say a whole lot. There weren't a lot of questions. In 15 minutes, you can't get too many questions in. But part of the reason for those questions, and I'll kind of jump ahead a little, for the last 30 years that I've been, 31 years, we have access to the coaches more than just one time. This is the access that Arizona has, or the media has with Sumlin until the game now. They have this window, Mondays, to talk to him for 15, 20 minutes about the game, what's coming. coming up, blah, blah, blah. They do not, they cannot talk to him the rest of the week.
Really?
Really. This is the first time this has happened in 30 years in that I've been here. So it, normally you wouldn't ask these questions in a press conference because you have access to him later after practice or during the week. So that's why these questions have to be asked. Otherwise, you'll never be able to ask these questions.
This was an AD decision?
This is a Sumlin decision, pretty much, that I know of. But so he plays things very close to the vest. So if he wanted to do, and I saw the story, and we're going to have the reporter in tomorrow on what his thoughts were, but I saw his story last night, and it was Damian Alameda on Channel 13. He wanted to kind of humanize Sumlin and what he does or what he used to do and, you know, all coaching. But that's what he had to do. He had to ask a question. In this type of situation, it kind of took Sumlin by surprise because you don't get these type of questions. But let me tell you, that's the only time he has access to him to ask this question.
Interesting.
So that was kind of my reason for having this. And when he spoke, he doesn't say a whole lot.
He says a lot by what he doesn't say though, in his facial, which we can't show on the radio, obviously.
Sure.
Some of his facial, just kind of squinting and things, says a lot. And just by him saying, we've made a statement on that, it's like, you know, move along.
Right. And what he was talking about there was three of his players, younger players, got in trouble last month. For
hanging out at the stadium?
You know the story. Yeah, marijuana, I think. They got in trouble. This was last month. It came out maybe 3-4 weeks ago. I mean, they got cited or whatever three or four weeks ago. And it just came out over the weekend. The student paper got the information. So they're not going to talk much about that disciplinary stuff unless it comes out, if it's more serious or whatever. That's kind of common. You heard Rocky LaRose last week talking about some of the things that happened on her watch,
Brian,
as the AD.
Why didn't you invite me?
Yeah, right. Exactly. And it's a teaching moment for the kids. You know that's wrong. You know it's stupid.
Duh.
But you're going to do it. You're 18, 19, 20 years old. You're a football player. You're going to do crazy things. And that was one.
Does it make it, I'm assuming it must make it much more challenging for you, being a sports reporter, when you have such limited access? You can't just...
It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable, and that's the biggest complaint that we have in covering a team like this. It's a big-time program. Let me also say that, and I'm not trying to do alibis for U of A. It's the way that things are going nationally. They're
really
limiting access to coaches, to players, for whatever reason. I also say this. U of A attendance is down. You've seen it. You've been to the games.
Yeah.
I get a sense that, well, a sense or whatever you want to say, that the town doesn't know who these players are. They don't. They're not.
Right.
They're not stories. They're not good stories on them. You don't know who these kids are because we have little access to them. In fact, U of A has a press conference here at 2:00. It's not a press conference. It's a gathering of students talking to the media today at 2:00. They do it every Tuesday. It's not in a press conference situation. They bring them in to talk to the media. I have yet to go to one because of this and other things.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to talk to other kids than that they bring in. So we have no access in terms of who they bring in.
Right.
We're very handcuffed.
So you said for various reasons across the country they're going this way. Do you get any sense why Sumlin doesn't want to talk more?
I don't know.
His predecessors had TV shows, radio shows.
Well, he has a radio show. I don't know. He's very close to the vest. Doesn't say a whole lot.
He's kind of when I met him here, he was on Bill Buckmaster.
I saw that, yeah.
He was shorter and quieter than I would have thought.
And this was what, March, April? It was right after he was hired,
actually, in the summer.
Well, no, it was February.
It was before the season, what I mean. I think it was back in maybe May or June.
Okay, so he was still kind of getting acclimated and still trying to find his way.
He was the new era guy,
right,
they've billed him as.
Well, here we go, because that's just how it is. And that's why you saw those variety of questions, very different, because you have no other time to ask him.
What's
that.
Your favorite color, you know?
In truth, that's kind of it. Yeah. And it's just the way it is because that's the only way you have access to him.
And is that same access the same he's given to his offensive guys?
We have no access to them.
Oh.
To the other coaches. In fact, I wanted to do a story on the offensive coordinator, Noel Mazzoni. He's from New Mexico, as I am, and people know that. He's about 5 years older than me. And when I was a kid, 10, 12 years old, he was the starting quarterback at New Mexico. And I would hear his name all the time on the radio in Old Mazone. He was from a small town in northern New Mexico. And I wanted to do that story about telling him.
Right.
When I was a kid, all I heard was your name on the radio. Yeah. How cool was that? And, yeah. and how did this little kid or this kid come from this little town to become this guy? I didn't have didn't allow me to talk to him.
Well, that really starts to kind of explain your conversations with Gabe on the first couple of shows, just how frustrated he is.
It all comes together now. It'll come together more as we talk to people that are in the business.
How difficult is that?
Yeah.
Well, feel like Jim Acosta, I guess.
It hasn't come to that yet. And it probably wouldn't happen to me, but it could happen to somebody else in my colleagues that go to the games.
Wow.
Yes, yes. Are we going to go to break?
Sure.
Great. Thanks for joining us. And we'll come back on the other side with Brett Hansen.
Plumbing problems? Call Picture Rocks Cooling, Heating, and Plumbing. Whether you have a leaky faucet, need a new water heater, or new plumbing construction, our qualified professional technicians can help you with your plumbing issues. Picture Rocks is family-owned and operated, and all our work is guaranteed. Call Picture Rocks Cooling, Heating, and Plumbing today at 440-4069 or picturerockscooling.com.
Picture Rocks Cooling, Heating, and Plumbing.
I'm Megan from Tucson Smiles Pediatric Dentistry. Tucson Smiles has three offices that need to communicate with each other throughout the day. Transferring patient phone calls between offices is a breeze now. Simply Bits installed telephone, fax, and internet at our Tucson Smiles offices. They also replaced our outdated telephone equipment, and our internet is a lot faster. As a local practice, it was really important for us to work with a single local vendor for all offices. I loved that they really got to know our business before just presenting a solution that might not work. They didn't just install something that was one size fits all. It was really tailored for our business. Tucson Smiles Pediatric Dentistry would absolutely recommend Simply Bits. Their service is excellent.
High-speed internet, voice, and fax for home or business. Learn more at simplybits.com.
I'm Bernard Buford with the Architecture Company. We have earned the loyalty and respect of our clients by listening to their dreams and creating dazzling designs. Since we have been using Leshanach Network Solutions for routine and automated maintenance on our computers, our downtime has been close to zero. This helps us meet our target dates. We rely on Leshanach to help keep us up and running.
The Architecture Company trusts us with their network, shouldn't you? Call us today at 888-9122. Leshanach Network Solutions, 888-9122.
Next year's fondest memories begin with this year's Lexus December to Remember sales event. Right now, get Lexus cash and dealer discounts on all models with up to $11,000 off the new 2018 LS500. Get incredibly low interest rate financing and exceptional lease offers on your favorite models. Hurry in. All offers on approved credit and expire 12/3/18. See dealer for details at Lexus of Tucson on Speedway at Columbus, at the Auto Mall, or lexusoftucson.com.
Where you bank really does matter. Hughes Federal Credit Union is proud to be recognized as the number one credit union across all of Arizona by Forbes. This national recognition highlights our commitment to high-quality products and services, our customer service, digital services, and financial advice. At Hughes Federal Credit Union, we offer higher savings rates, lower fees, and many free services. Make the switch. Join Hughes today. Visit hughesfcu.org/bestcreditunion. Certain restrictions apply. Insured by NCUA.
John C. Scott is hosting one of the longest-running political talk shows in Arizona. John C. Scott features interviews with elected officials, candidates, reporters, consultants, and voters in what shapes up to be one of the most critical election years in our history.
The John C. Scott Show, weekday afternoons 3 to 5 on AM 1030 KVOI. Trusted local news and talk.
Trusted local news and talk. AM 1030 KVOI. We have our eye on politics.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Eye on the Ball here on KVOI 1030. You can call us at 790-2040. I think we have Brett Hansen on the line. Are you there, Brett?
I am here, Steve. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, good to hear your voice. And I wanted to have you on. I think you listened to the Ryan Hansen interview last week, and it brought back great memories, and you have some of those as well. But let me tell you, just a caveat for me, Brett is one of my good friends. He covered, or he was the PR guy for the University of Arizona basketball team from 95 to 2000, I think. Close with the program, traveled everywhere, became close to Luton, the rest of the guys, and then jumped to Fox Sports Arizona. So you've been with them a long time now. Is that about right?
Yeah, been up here for 18 years. Yeah, been up here for 18 years in Phoenix with Fox Sports Arizona, but those 6 years in Tucson and working at the U of A were six of the best years of my life.
I was going to ask you that.
Anytime I can talk about that, I'm happy to.
Yeah, just in between that, just for now, what have the coolest things you've done been up there? You know, what have you done? Who have you met that's pretty exciting?
Well, obviously, it starts and begins with the 2001 World Series, what was going on in the country at that time, and everybody's eyes were on Phoenix and then back to New York, and then just to be involved in that, be at every game here and our coverage of that, that's something that you'll never forget. And the Game 7 here was, outside of that one night in Indianapolis in 1997, that game's probably the all-timer for me. So, it starts with the 2001 World Series up here for sure.
Any of the cool guys? Gonzo, I know, is a good guy. Did you meet any of those guys?
Gonzo's a great guy. Shane Doan. He's an all-timer. Mark Grace, getting to know him, he's involved in our pregame and postgame shows, and just watching baseball games with him, you learn so much by watching a game with a guy like that, and they just see things just in a different way, and he's a great one as well.
Have you been able, have your kids who play ball, have they met him, and have you kind of translated some of the game to them?
They've met it, but not in that regard. My youngest son plays on a team that's coached by Brandon Webb.
Oh, okay.
So anytime you can have a former Cy Young award winner teaching your kid how to throw a ball. I think when I was his age, I told him the local mailman was teaching me how to pitch a ball, and now he's learning from a Cy Young award winner. So times have definitely changed.
Well, that explains why you throw the ball the way you throw your ball, I guess. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. You don't.
We'll end it there. Hey, I know you talked about the 95 to 2000 being the greatest times, and it was during that period some of the best teams ever at U of A. I've always said we can break it down to four, at least, maybe a little arguably, but 1988, 2001, 96-97, 97-98. And your top team is?
97-98, and that's the hill I'm going to die on. I will always stick up for that team. I know I'm biased, but I think that team had a bullseye on its back everywhere it went. It was a defending national champion. Everybody you played, that was their game of the season. And to do the things they did, I've looked at some stuff. They've scored over 100 points five times. Mm-hmm. They had 99 points in the game three times. Heck, ASU scored 99 points against them and lost by 28. How many times did that happen in a college basketball game? So,
right.
And if not for that Adam Spanich shot at USC, that team goes undefeated in the Pac-10. So that's the team I'm rolling with.
And that Adam Spanich shot was one of the most weird shots I've ever seen. It just kind of clumped in there.
I can still hear that sound in my dreams at night. Just a thunk, and then the sports arena goes crazy, and they don't go undefeated in the Pac-10 that year, but that's basketball.
Right. And at the time, Mike Bibby was on the team, and his dad was at USC coaching.
Yeah.
Very, very good stories, a lot of storylines throughout the thing. In your time, who was the best player?
Mike Bibby. Some of the things he did, and just for 2 years there, I still think, I was thinking back to some of the greatest performances I saw, and I think you'll remember this one, but that night they went to Stanford. Stanford was, I think, fourth in the country. This was 98, so the year after the national championship, and he had like 26 points, 10 assists, I think only one turnover. And back then, going into Maples Pavilion, that was as hostile as an arena as you could get. The floor would bounce up and down, the fans right on you, the students right on you, the band was right there, but everything he did in those 2 years, Mike Bibby and then Jason Terry after that, but Bibby was a special, special player.
Right, no, and I thought Dickerson was right behind him, probably. Miles obviously had that great run of 3 weeks where he became the most outstanding player. You were close to a lot of these guys.
Yeah, you know, and the thing about that team that won the national championships, it was the guys, kind of the young Sun guys. I mean, yeah. AJ and Bennett, the stuff they did down low, the stuff on defense that the casual fan didn't see. I mean, Kentucky couldn't keep up with that speed. You know, North Carolina jumped out to that huge lead in this national semifinal, and we came back. And I mean, they're just those little things. Gene coming off the bench, yep. Jason Terry coming off the bench,
Donnell Harris
coming off the bench. Mm-hmm. I mean, those free throws in the national championship, those are some of the biggest baskets in Arizona basketball history, and people sometimes forget about that.
Yeah. And there was no basket.
There were a lot of – no, yeah.
There was no basket in the overtime.
No, they were all free throws. But, yeah, but that was a special team and, you know, a great group. You know, the coaching staff, you know, starting, you know, with Lou and then, of course, Roz and Jesse and Phil. I mean, you had some great, great coaches on that staff.
Right, right. I think you have a story after the national championship going through the hotel afterward because it was like 2 hours after the game. I can't remember how long.
Yeah, by the time we wrapped up all the interviews at the RCA Dome, you're right, it was about 2 hours. I mean, those things went on and on. The locker room was open, and you had to take golf carts down to the interview room with everybody and all the players, and after you're done with coach, and I remember Dan Patrick was walking down a hallway, and I pulled him into a broom closet, basically, to get a one-on-one with coach for SportsCenter that night. So once we're all done with all of that, we get back on the bus, and it was maybe about a five-minute ride back. We could have walked back to the hotel, but just with everybody going on, everything happening there, we took the bus back, and we got back to the hotel. The doors opened to the bus, and it just smelled like a frat house inside that hotel. I mean, there was cigar smoke. You could smell the booze. I mean, the place was packed, and it was a scene that I will never forget and a sound I will never forget when we got off that bus and walked into that lobby. I mean, there were people everywhere, just one at a piece, one an autograph, congratulations, everything like that. And we had to, you know, kind of use some security to get back up to their floors, just kind of, you know, get away from everybody. But it was a madhouse, and it was amazing.
You let me ask you, South Alabama, with about 7 minutes left, I would have bet $1 million you would have been winning that championship 3 weeks later. Tell us what you were doing then.
I was trying to think, okay, how can I ride on a Greyhound back to Tucson so I don't have to be a part of this? I mean, with that slowdown offense that they played, I mean, I'm just thinking, there's no way in the world we're going to come back and win this thing. It was just a slow, plodding offense, and then a team you just can't come back against when you were down by that, whatever that deficit was. But, I mean, I'm just thinking, that would have been, you know, you'd always heard about the first round defeats, and that was my second year, and I thought, oh boy, here we go again. But, you know, they won that game, and if they didn't win that game, you know, obviously they wouldn't have gone on to win the national championship. But I think that kind of reinforced the fact that they could come back against anybody. And pretty much every game, they were coming back, you know.
Yeah, Jason
Charleston, the next game.
Right.
That was that way as well.
And every game had a different hero. Jason Terry in the first game to pull them out. They had that big run to win against South Alabama. College of Charleston, then the Kansas game, which may have been the biggest game I've been part of, at least with U of A, in terms of shocking. Because, you know, they weren't supposed
I'll still maintain that that's the best basketball game they've ever played.
Probably.
At least when I was there.
Yeah. Yeah. And they almost lost that.
That team was loaded.
Yeah. 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 Jacques Vaughn, Pollard, some other guys.
Live
for France, right?
Yeah. I mean, they only won, lost one regular season game that year. And I remember going into that, Michael Dickerson couldn't believe we were an underdog.
Right, right.
Just kind of the mentality they took in that game, and it paid off. And, you know, that whole march through it, they were just so laid back and so easygoing and never really got too serious. You know, Coach Olson, he picked the hotel that was downtown right next to the Dome because he figured as long as this team's going to the Final Four, he wanted the guys to enjoy everything and be a part of it. And the other teams were staying on the outskirts of town. And I think that helped the team be at ease as well. I mean, they're just amongst all the fans, and we could walk over to the arena and everything like that right outside of where the fan fest was. So that played a major part in it, in my opinion.
Right, right. After beating Kansas, I thought the next game, the Elite Eight game, was another huge game. I think it went into overtime. And it was
Sham God, Austin Crozier, and Providence.
Right. And any bounce, because I think they had a shot at the end to either tie it or win it, and they missed it. So there were so many bounces that went Arizona's way that year that helped them win the title. No one talks about that.
No. You know, there's always so much luck that's involved in winning the national championship, and you saw that the next year when everybody figured we were going back to San Antonio. And one bad day in Anaheim, and next thing you know, we're headed back to Tucson.
Yeah, improbable. You had already beaten them earlier in the year. And it just, it was just unbelievable game. Just something that you wouldn't think that would happen, and it happened.
No.
So your last year, you didn't go to the Final Four the next year in 2001, right? You were out.
No, my last. Yeah, I was, my last year was 99-2000. That was the, I think they were the number one seed, lost to Wisconsin and Salt Lake City, and that's when Lauren Woods was injured.
Okay, I think we're going to talk about that era after the break. We'll go to break, and we'll talk about that group because it was a fun group with Richard and Luke.
Yep.
We'll come back after the break.
I'm
talking to Brett Hansen. We'll get him back after the break. Thanks.
At Sun Street Mortgage, we want to say a special thank you to our employees, our clients, and all of our referral partners who have made Sun Street what it is today. To show and express our thanks, Sun Street continues to give back to the local Tucson community by sponsoring several local charities and various athletic teams to support our children and young adults, which is Sun Street's philanthropic mission. Take the street that leads you home, Sun Street Mortgage.
AZBK number 0907366 and MLS number 145171. Sun Street Mortgage LLC is an equal housing lender.
Hi folks, this is Mario, Dr. Bedoya's son of Dedicated Dental. Quick question for you. At what age should a person stop caring for their teeth? Let me tell you about a gentleman that came in to see Dr. Bedoya. He was interested in implants at the age of 98. That's right, he wanted implants for his 99th birthday as a gift to himself. Dr. Bedoya was intrigued by this man's wish to have implants at nearly 100 years old and asked why he wanted to do this at this point in his life. The man said, "Doc, I don't know how much time I have left, but however much or little it is, I want to enjoy the rest of my life and eat whatever I want to eat." What a great answer, and what a way to live. Dr. Bedoya and his staff at Dedicated Dental came through for him, and the man had his implants for his 99th birthday. We should all learn from this man's outlook on life and seek to live a happy and enjoyable life. At Dedicated Dental, it's not just about teeth. We are here to help you live better. Call today for your free consultation, 573-1900. That's 573-1900. Smile.
This is Chef Michael Elefante, and I have an idea for your business. Take your client to lunch, at Mama Luisa's, of course. They'll be impressed by our pasta bar, cooked to their preference, right in front of them. Or try our famous Joe special, with hot pepper seeds, garlic and oil, and topped with cheese and baked to perfection. You'll get their business and some great food. Mama Luisa's.
Since 1956, Mama Luisa's has thrilled your palate with great Italian food. And we cater. 2041 South Craycroft, 790-4702.
Being there matters. And your United States Navy protects and defends America on the world's oceans. Around the globe, around the clock, Navy ships, submarines, aircraft, and most importantly, tens of thousands of America's finest young men and women are ready to defend America when piracy threatens global commerce, when disaster strikes, or when called upon by the Commander-in-Chief, your Navy is there. When it comes to protecting and defending America, being there matters. And America's Navy is already there.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Join us Wednesday for a newsmaker interview with Richard Elias. Mr. Elias is chair of the Pima County Board of Supervisors. Also, do zoos have a future in the 21st century? Buckmaster, noon to 1 on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's voice for trusted local news and talk. Anywhere in the world live listening, my website, buckmastershow.com.
Trusted local news and talk. AM 1030 KBOI. We have our eye on sports.
Welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on KBOI 1030. I'm with Brett Hansen of Fox Sports Arizona, formerly of the U of A and the men's basketball program. So you get removed from the or at least a year removed from Bibby, Simon, Dickerson, mm-hmm. And then you come back and Jason Terry's now the senior, but he has a group of freshmen with him. Richard Jefferson, Luke Walton, I think Justin Wessel was a freshman. You still had Edgerson. That group in itself had so many great personalities. How was that?
No, it was, you know, when you talk about characters, Richard Jefferson, Luke Walton, both of those guys are right up there. Great players, smart guys as well, but just, you know, traveling with those guys, there was usually an experience in every city we went to, and it was all good, and, you know, still great friends and keep in touch with them to this day.
Right. You're getting into games because of them. leaving you tickets all over.
Yeah, a couple years ago when Richard was playing for the Cavs, he came here and I said, hey, we're going to be at the game. And he says, hey, I'll leave you guys passes. Want to meet the boys after the game. You know, he knows the routine. He came, walked right up to us and said, all right, what do you want me to sign? And, you know, just really good. And that's the thing about the Arizona basketball program is, I mean, you're friends with these guys for life. You know, what happened, you know, 20, 25 years, and you're still friends right now. And that's what's been so special about that place.
Yeah, all the guys that I covered, or I see most of the guys I covered back in the day, they've been good to me. Very loyal. If I need them, they call me or they, you know, return calls. Did you hear Richard on the show Sunday?
I did not.
He was very good.
I heard he was going to do it, but yeah, you know, you could tell he's going to have a great television career. You know, he's the way he transcends himself on television. He's going to be very, very good in this profession.
Right, right. Were you there when Lute got so frustrated with the team in Washington because they weren't listening or whatever, and Luke had to coach him and Jason Gardner? I don't think you were around then.
No, that might have been the year. I remember hearing that story, but I think that was the year after I was gone.
Yeah, yeah. What do you think about him coaching?
Yeah, just I hope things go well for him with the Lakers.
Right.
He's a smart guy. I think he's going to get a good future. I don't know where it's going. You know, hopefully it continues with the Lakers. But, you know, everything you hear about him, everything you know about him, he's a great, great coach, good X's and O's, and really relates well to the players. I think in today's NBA, that's what you need. You got to have a guy that can relate well with the players.
Right, right. Jason Gardner now coaching, too. That's probably not a surprise to you.
No, not at all. I remember when we were at the Final Four, we had practice at his high school gym, and he was there, and everybody knew that this was a kid they were recruiting, and, you know, just seeing him back then, and, you know, I was there with him for a couple of years, and him and Gilbert, I mean, that, you talk about a great backcourt. Those two were two of the best, and, you know, the things they did together, and, you know, they were good players as well.
We saw Bennett here two or three months ago for the Lute Olson Fantasy Camp. One of the most, I want to say crazy, but different guys, funny guys. Any stories with him? Maybe the airport. The airport? Were you there when he?
Yeah, I'm sure everybody's heard that one, but this was pre-9/11. But we were in the Eugene airport, and Bennett bet everyone that he could ride around on the luggage carousel, and nobody thought he would, and he sat on it, and he went back through the opening in the wall like you see in some of these smaller airports, and came out the other side, and he was just riding on it the whole way. I don't think you could do that in this day and age, but that was Bennett. I mean, he was up to try to do anything and just to make people laugh. But just one of the most freakish athletes I've ever been around. I remember the Final Four practice, he bruised his elbow on the rim when they were dunking. I mean, that just shows you how high that guy could get up. But one of those unsung guys that is, if not for him, they don't win that national championship.
Did you see Jason Terry having the career he had beyond U of A?
Yes, you know, maybe not to that extent. The craziest thing about Jason is when we were at the Maui Invitational, it was a year after the national championship. I was out at a local establishment with, I think, three of the managers, and we ran into a couple scouts from the Lakers, and we were just talking to them about our players, and they said, you know, the guy on your team who's going to have the best NBA career and the longest NBA career, do you know who it is? And we were all saying Michael Dickerson, Mike Bibby, Miles Simon. They, to a man, they all said, no, it's Jason Terry. The things he does off the ball, his quickness, his awareness, he's going to have a great, great NBA career. And that was his junior season. So, I mean, it's amazing what scouts can see then. But, yeah, it was great to see Jason. And, you know, he's another fantastic friend and somebody that would come to town and you'd see. And I was so happy to see him have the career that he did.
Another crazy guy, and you had him for 1 year, I think, was Gilbert. Gilbert was a goof.
No. Gilbert was a goof. He had to reel Gilbert in every once in a while. We were, you know, remember when we were at the preseason NIT in Madison Square Garden? He went off. I can't even remember who we beat, but in the championship. It might have been Michigan. But so afterwards, you got to go into the post game press area, and it's New York City. You know, there's 8 rows deep of reporters, TV cameras, everything like that, and everybody wants to talk to him because he was a star, and I walked him into the press room. He walked right back out and says, no, too nervous.
I'll be mumbling
like Shaq when I'm in there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll be mumbling like Shaq. I can't talk in there. So we couldn't get him in there, but he was just kind of a shy, reserved type guy. Goofy, but that was just Gilbert.
And years later, now you can't shut him up.
I think that's the case. Yeah, exactly.
Right, right. Know those years with him. And maybe any stories with him and Eugene? Because Eugene was that straight-laced guy, and, you know, that serious guy, and dealing with that freshman who couldn't do enough, you know, to stop messing around.
Yeah, there was something that Gilbert did to Gene. I can't remember what it was.
I think he flattened his tires.
Yeah, that's what it was. Yeah, he flattened the tires, and so it came time for the start of practice, and Gilbert was walking down to the court, and Gene was just looking for Gilbert. Where's Gilbert? I'm going to,
you know what, Gilbert.
Yeah, he would not let Gilbert come down on the court, and they couldn't even start practice until Coach O could come in and get that thing resolved, because Gene was going to take down Gilbert for doing that. But, I mean,
the way I heard it, I heard it exactly like that. Maybe I'm wrong, but Luke came on the court, and then I think he asked Ross, where's Gilbert? He says, well, he's afraid of Gene, and he says, get this thing solved.
As Roz always did, and he would get it solved.
Right,
and
right.
Be fine.
Right. Was the right-hand man, yeah. Anything else? Maybe any cute story with or tellable story with Luke?
Well, with Luke, my best story, we were in Los Angeles getting ready to play UCLA, USC. It was January 1st, New Year's Day. We had a practice. We landed in L.A. on January 1st, went to Poly to practice. After practice, I went with some friends to watch the Rose Bowl. Came back to my hotel room. I was rooming with one of the managers, and I walk into my hotel room, and who's laying in my bed in his underwear but Luke Walton. And he just was doing that just because he knew it would just get to me. And I'm like, what are you doing? Number one, you don't have any bowl games on television right now. You're lying in bed in your underwear, and you're watching a National Geographic show about monkeys. I don't know. I go, let's turn some football on and get out of my bed. But I mean, they would just do certain things like that. Him and Richard thought I looked like Carson Daly, and they'd walk up to girls in airports and say, hey, did you see Carson Daly? And the girls would walk over, and then they'd realize, no, that's not Carson. But I mean, just subtle little things like that that just made traveling in life with those guys really a lot of fun.
What about Lute?
You know, he treated me so well. I can't say anything negative. I mean, he was the greatest. I mean, I'm a kid who grew up in Wyoming. I come to Tucson. Suddenly I'm thrust into this position as a sports information director for this great coach. And he treated me so well and the whole time I was there. And it just, you learned how to work with him, and you know, you knew what he needed. And your job was just to make things as easy as possible on him. But I one time I do remember we were in Washington and my luggage got lost on the flight. And I didn't have my luggage for like the first 12 hours we were in town. I went to bed. I didn't have any luggage. The next morning we left for shoot around, and he comes down in the lobby and he's carrying my bag. And he goes, here's your bag, Brad. And he just dropped it in the lobby. And I go, what happened? He goes, they brought it to my room at 3 this morning. I hope you enjoy it. And I'm thinking, oh, my God. That's the last thing you want is somebody bringing your luggage to Coach O's room at 3 in the morning.
And right.
He brought it down to the lobby for me. So,
yeah.
But a once-in-a-lifetime experience to get to work with a man like that.
Right. Maybe a quick one. We got about a minute left. Maybe Roz, because Roz was one of those great guys.
Roz, there's so many about Roz. You could write a book on him and everything he did and what he means to that team. But he would, when we'd go to Albuquerque, stay at the Marriott, he would always buy ties in the gift shop. And he said they had the best ties around. It'd be like 3 for $25 in the Marriott gift shop. And so we always made fun of Roz for that's where he bought his ties. And he was one of a kind and still a great friend to this day.
Right. I hope they weren't bolo ties. But
No.
They're real time.
Not at all.
Right. Yeah. Hey, great having you. We hope to have you back. I love these stories because, you know, it brings a tear to my eye, and I always need to have a tear in my eye. Thanks, and we'll
good
get
luck
back.
With the show.
Thank you, Brett. I appreciate it. We'll come back for the second hour with the Jeff Skurin. Thanks a bunch.